Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
This weekend, I will be in La Jolla, San Diego, baby. Come see Adam Ray live. Come on, man. 2019, there's still some of it left. It's America's birthday, baby. The weekend after the 4th of July, July 5th through the 7th, at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, San Diego, California. One of the sweetest spots in this beautiful country of ours. And it's just after America's birthday. So come see your boy, July 5th through the 7th, Comedy Store, La Jolla. It's going to be a blast. Sandy Danto, Brian Moses from Roast Battle, the host of Roast Battle, Avery Pearson, the whole gang's going to be there. So come out and see me. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then July 11th through the 13th, I'll be in Plano, Texas at Hyenas Comedy Club. July 11th through the 13th, come out and see your boy. July 11th through the 13th, Plano Hyenas Comedy Club in Plano, Texas. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams will be in Columbus, Ohio, July 12th through the 14th at the Funny Bone. Tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. And then Brad will be in Montreal at the Just for Laughs Festival, July 22nd and 23rd. Go see Brad in Montreal. Today's episode, one of my best friends on planet Earth, one of the most inspiring, sweet, hardworking, funny, just a juggernaut of talent and sweetness and love in one human being. Kaylee Smith Westbrook. Holy shit. We met at freshman orientation, going to USC in 2001, hit it off. She married one of my best friends, Adam Westbrook, hence the Kaylee Smith Westbrook. Her story is awesome, and we get into so much. Her insane bat mitzvah in Denver, where she grew up. Her journey to Los Angeles, her dreams and aspirations of being a pop star, and how that did not work out, but it still might. All right, there's still time. But she gives us a little taste of her, one of the songs that she tried to go platinum with. Kaylee is a producer, an actress, a writer. She created a hit web series called MarryMe.com, which was kind of one of the first web series that really kind of showed us that you could do a true TV show on the internet with a dope cast and a budget and great writing and lighting and the whole works. People You May Know was a movie she starred in and co-created, wrote, with Nick Thune also starring in it and a bunch of other big-time actors that I can't remember. I auditioned, didn't get in. We didn't talk about it, but one of my also dear friends got the part, so what do? You just got to be happy. But the movie rules. Usher's in it. It's called People You May Know. That's on iTunes, Amazon, wherever you can get films. And then Series Fest. We talk about how she co-created a giant TV festival dedicated just to TV and innovators and creators and writing and in Denver. And it's fucking huge. It's now quickly and easily becoming, I think in its fifth year, the best TV festival in the country. And it's a mini Sundance for TV. And it fucking crushes. The first year I got to go and watch, and I can't believe that they've topped that first year, because the opening ceremony was me, John Legend, and Whitney Cummings at Red Rocks. And they had Stevie Wonder this year, but Ted Sarandos from Netflix came out. It's a giant thing, and Kaylee co-created it. That's how fucking dope she is. We also talked about her days at theater camp, the famous theater camp Stage Door in New York, which I think there's films about. And we talk about how she saved my life. Like, legit. Like, I would not be here if Kaylee was not. If I didn't meet Kaylee in L.A., I would be dead. And I would not be doing this intro. And somebody else would be. So that's crazy. And that whole story is, I think we take about 12 to 15 minutes to tell that whole story. But it is fucking bonkers. And I owe my life to Kaylee Smith Westbrook. She's one of my best friends on planet Earth. And I'm glad we got to sit down and chat with her. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. And check out Series Fest, SeriesFest.com. Submit your works to it, because it's taken over. And follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Kaylee Smith WB. No, on Instagram, it's Kaylee Smith Westbrook. On Twitter, I think it's Kaylee Smith WB. But Instagram's where it's at. So Kaylee Smith Westbrook on Instagram. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at Alan Podcast. Go get my album, Read the Room, still available on iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your ALN merch. ShopAdamRay.com for all the Adam Ray merch. You got hats, you got beanies, you got hoodies. It's all there. Go get it. Support us by commenting and rating on the iTunes page. 5 stars. Comment on the page. And email us at AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com. We got big announcements and big eps coming up. A real big announcement coming in probably 2 weeks that is going to shake things up and be fucking incredible. So be on the lookout for that. And tell your friends, tell your fam. And now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Kaylee Smith Westbrook.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. Whether lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Well, come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Okay. I was like into musical theater, but my mom really wanted me to be a pop star, so she'd send me to the recording studio on the weekends, and for my bat mitzvah, I had like a CD that had like mostly musical theater songs, but some like pop songs. Mm-hmm. But then when I was a senior in high school, I moved out to LA because I just like really hated high school. So I moved out here to work on my demo. And I literally recorded a song called Oxygen.
Yes.
Hey. Off the album what? Breathing?
I mean,
It was during the heyday of like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, and the song was called Oxygen.
It's pretty great because the tagline is you can't live without oxygen. You literally need oxygen to live. So I understand that.
Yeah. I moved out here and they're like, lose 15 pounds and dye your hair blonde and sing a song called Oxygen. And you'll be a pop star.
Classic LA feedback.
Yeah.
What was the, did you write the song? Did you have writers?
No. There were writers. It was like, you know, I had 3 songs that were like really not good songs, but I just was so desperate to like get out of high school that I was like, I'll sing anything.
So you didn't like high school?
No, I hated it.
Were they Rebecca Black style? Were they like...
It's Friday.
Oh, yeah, totally. Because you had to do like the Britney Spears. And it was like, I've been waiting for this to begin. Breathing out and finally breathing it in. Oh my God, I don't think I've sung that since I was 18 years old.
I mean, we're all dancing.
Your love is oxygen. Swear to God.
Where do we find that track?
I knew you were going to say, I know I have it in a CD at my house, but you're 100% not getting it.
We will end this podcast with the world premiere
of Oxygen.
Is there a line somewhere in there like, if you give me the H2, I'll give you the O?
No. Like,
please.
No, but that would be really amazing. Actually, I don't know. I don't remember all the lyrics.
Now, this will hopefully make you feel better about recording the song on Oxygen. Is that Jennifer Love Hewitt once released an album, and
I love that album.
Do you?
I swear to God, her first song on there.
Wait a minute. No. Do you know the song called Let's Go Bang?
No, I don't remember that.
Okay, because she has a song called Let's Go Bang, and it was done because there was supposed to be a dance that went along with it called The Bang, and where it's like, all right, so everyone's going to bang or whatever, and then the dance never came out, never caught on, so now she just has this title of a track that's called Let's Go Bang.
That's really funny.
And everyone's like,
that.
Oh yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt, I'd like to go bang as long as you're involved, you know, like it's that's how it came out. So
that's really funny.
You're not as bad as her.
I bet you I probably still have that CD somewhere. I have all my CDs from high school that I just like won't get rid of for some reason. I don't know what I plan on doing with them.
I mean, there's something to be said about holding on to, like, you know, old music like that, especially CDs. There's such a, I mean, we had them for so long and now you just don't need them. I have books and books of DVDs and I'm like, toss them out. But it's like, I had them for so...
Yeah, they're almost like, well, I collected them for a reason.
Yeah, totally. I think about all the money I spent on them, and it's just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Wait, what? So, because people should know that you have a extensive Broadway background.
Sure.
Yes, musical theater, just, I mean, to the nines. So pop star was the original plan.
No. I wanted to be a Broadway star, and my mom was like, you know, you're going to make no money on Broadway. You will basically, you know, I don't know, not be able to afford your your food. So you should become a pop star. And then if you're a pop star, then they'll want you to do Broadway.
Was this before or after you had a bat mitzvah with backup dancers and that you performed at?
No, this was, this was around that time because I wanted to do musical theater stuff. So for my bat mitzvah, my theme was Come Fly With Me, which I don't quite understand the theme or how, I guess it was Come Fly With Me Through My Life. So it was 30 minute show.
Through a 13-year-old's life. Let's take a look back at the last 13 years.
No, but it was for my future. So the show was what my future was going to look like. So basically I found a little like genie bottle and I rubbed it and my sister came out as my fairy godmother. Mm-hmm. And she showed me my life, and it was supposed to be, I was a Broadway star, a pop singer, and a movie star, I think.
Okay.
Full on backup dancers, Brad.
No, like my mom flew them in from New York to Denver, and like I had, it was quite the ordeal.
The only way it would have been topped off is if out of the lamp that was rubbed, your sister came out, and then she rubbed a lamp, and then Brad came out. That would have been 100%. The only way to top.
We didn't know each other then.
We could go back and do it again now. Yeah. Now
do
there's
people re-up their bat mitzvahs?
Also one video that won't be on YouTube. People beg me all the time. I'm like, 1,000%. Not a chance, because I had this like magic wand thing that I put out during, I swear to God. I had this like thing where it's like this magic wand like shot out during me singing Broadway Baby, and I practiced it so many times in front of like all my friends. Yeah. And of course, the one time it goes wrong and it falls on the floor is the time you're in front of 540 people for your bat mitzvah.
Yeah. Now, see, I'm the only non-Jew at the table.
Oh.
And when it comes to the bar and the bat mitzvahs, is that kind of like, does it get like hyper competitive in terms of like, oh my God, like Shelly had a fountain, so we need a chocolate fountain at ours or something like that?
I don't think it was competitive in that way. My mom's just really creative and just likes everything like bigger than it. Loves to throw parties. Yeah. And she's really good at it. So I think...
There's got to be something between the moms, though. I think that we just don't know about.
That we didn't realize?
Yeah, I think like they're keeping tabs on that stuff that we aren't. I think it's like a split of like they do want to do something great for their family, but I think there is something where it's like... You see what the Weinsteins did?
Yeah,
they had two tigers. Well, we're getting panthers that are going to be fucking their tigers.
That are endangered.
That are endangered, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because like now you had a bar mitzvah, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. We had a caricature artist and a girl named Jamie Davidson who was in the sixth grade who wore a stripper's dress and danced so sexually in the sixth grade that my Aunt Shirley goes, did you hire her?
No.
Yeah. Did you hire her? Shirley, she's 12.
Yeah.
She's.
I mean, first of all, I have many questions about that question. Because, where do you think that you hire that kid?
Yeah, I know. I love that Shirley knew that was even an option.
It's like, oh, no, you just go to Dubai. And then they have them dancing those things all over the place.
There is something about, I think, to the bar and bat mitzvah just experience where like, I mean, cause you went to so many of them, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally. It was like every weekend, seventh, eighth grade, sixth grade.
Were you just were you so bummed when nobody had a full on musical production?
No, I feel like a lot of people I remember going and like my friends who were dancers or singers, but no one did they built a stage. I like flew in on some magic trick, which wasn't really flying. It was very, I don't know what to say. Like, It was special.
I feel like I should convert just so I can.
You
have
should.
One.
Just
you so should. I can have one.
We need. Like, I don't think we have one.
I mean, sure. My wedding was a good party.
It was great.
Yes. But
Could it have been Jewed up a little bit?
Yeah.
Let's Jew it up, and then plus the mitzvah is more like just your thing, right? Like, cause the wedding, I needed, you know, my wife's opinions.
No.
And so now I just need it to be just me.
Yeah.
So you have the full roster of the 1997 Denver Broncos come out, and I'm catching passes from Elway, and there's pro wrestling in the corner, and there's a confetti cannon, but instead of confetti, it has hot chocolate.
Okay? Wait, are you
and
from that's Colorado? Just,
I'm not, but I'm a lifelong diehard Broncos fan.
Oh, you know, I'm from Denver.
I've heard that about you.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
So
I didn't
realize to do Comedy Works in Denver has now befriended like players on the team.
Yes.
Still is Peyton Manning and John Elway are
will
replace his parents as his favorite people someday.
Sure. No, if I have a child, they will be named in some way after John Elway.
Oh,
I've pitched various ideas to my wife.
Uh-huh.
She shot down a couple of them, but I'm gonna figure it out.
Haven't you tweeted at Elway when you've been in Denver? Yeah.
Yes.
Because some other players came out to his shows, and then like he got to know like the commentators and stuff.
Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey are now friends of mine, which is tell 12-year-old Brad Williams that he's going to be friends with some Denver Broncos one
day. So why did this obsession or interest start?
Dad went to Stanford and Elway went to Stanford, so he's like, we have to support a Stanford-led team, and the only other option was the Raiders with Jim Plunkett as a quarterback, and since I don't have any face tattoos or priors, can't be a Raiders fan. I found out, you know, I tried to sign up and they're like, no, you haven't been, you know, arrested for anything. So, I had to be a Broncos fan.
That's awesome. So when
all
I
those
was,
names just went all over your head.
Didn't yeah, I'm like, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. I do know John Elway. That's all I know.
There you go. Well, sure.
So when I was 17, I sang the national anthem for the Broncos at one of their game at Mile High Stadium. Mile High Stadium had like just opened.
Yeah.
And I changed keys in the middle of performing the song.
That is a bold move Beyonce wouldn't even do, right?
Yeah, because you're not supposed to do that because you're supposed to stay in one key. But I was so nervous and like everyone was there and it's like I have pictures. It was terrifying. And I remember, recently I found my journal and I was reading it. I was up the whole night before because I was behind on a paper. So I hadn't slept and I was like working all weekend. It was like the week of finals or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't my finest moment.
And you can't go to the teacher and be like, hey, I'm singing the national anthem.
Yeah, they didn't care.
Mile High Stadium, can I get like an extension or
can
something?
Can I get an extension? They're like, no, you should have done this 2 weeks ago, but I'm a procrastinator.
Wait, but you did play sports in high school.
Middle
school. High school. Volleyball?
I played volleyball. Yeah. I did soccer when I was younger. Tennis. But
there
then
you
I
go. Yeah, you're really good at tennis.
But then I had to choose between the musical and tennis, so I chose the musical and then...
So a classic story, sports or theater, right?
Yeah, totally.
So here's my question, though.
Yeah.
How do you even sing the national anthem at a Denver Broncos game? Did they walk to the school and be like, bring us your finest singers? Or like, did that happen?
Who had the greatest bat mitzvah in the school?
No, my parents knew someone. I don't remember. I remember when I was younger, I auditioned and they would audition for, it wasn't Broncos, it was our soccer team where we got to sing at the stadium, which is the same stadium during the summer, but no one goes to that game.
You mean the Colorado Rapids? Okay.
Brad loves your city.
Oh my goodness, I don't know anything about my city. Sure, the Rapids. Yeah. I sang for the Rapids when I was like 10. I kind of remember it.
I love Denver. Anyway.
I don't remember how. I think someone knew someone and they did, and I was going to be a pop star, so they were like, yeah,
sure, let's be the video that when she makes it and goes, remember when you sang the national anthem, the Broncos could be ahead of the curve that way,
right?
They could have had the awareness of Oxygen before anyone else
100%.
And are you nervous before singing the national anthem? Are you freaking out?
I'm freaking out. And I was also like 17, so I had no ability to, like, now I know how to like ground myself or take a pill or something, you know, to like help with those nerves.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Cocaine. Down and upper. Yeah. And then now my other question is, when you sing the national anthem, is that, do you have like an earpiece so you can hear yourself, or are you going
around? No.
It's horrible. Suck.
It's really hard. And I actually recently did the national anthem at CSU homecoming game a year ago.
Nice.
And it's hard because you can hear, you have to wait for the reverb, but it's ahead of it. So you really have to focus because you're listening to yourself, but then you hear it go out. So that's also, I think, why I changed keys, is because I was waiting for the reverb to end. And I don't think I could remember where I was. So I just like swapped keys.
Oh, it's the most frustrating thing. I had to host a Red Bull event one time. And so I have two earpieces.
Mm.
One is a producer.
Oh, God.
Giving me instructions. The other is my actual feed that's coming through the microphone. And then so when I'm doing these field pieces and interviewing people, I'm hearing myself. I'm hearing myself 2 seconds later on the giant speakers. And I got the producer saying, all right, you have 30 seconds. All right. And now it's 10 seconds. And then they're not ready, so you extend for another 20 seconds. And I'm like, and like you're talking, but you have no idea what the fuck you're saying. Right. But apparently I did it okay.
At least you didn't Fergie it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least you didn't just make a really awful choice.
Yeah, just there was no.
You know what she did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no comment. Like, but I was just more thinking, oh, that's a new word. We're going to Fergie it up. That's a new phrase. I mean,
half of me respected what she did because I was like, look, you've sung so many songs and so many concerts. Like, you've got to want to mix it up or do something different just for the sake of doing it. Like, and on that stage, like, I don't know. That is bucket list for me. All right. So once the pop star thing, you go, all right, this is not, you come out here, you record Oxygen.
Yeah.
The calls aren't coming in the way you want them to be.
No, I don't think I ever let anyone listen to the demo. And then my mom gave it to everyone at my graduation party from high school.
Oh my God.
Because what else would
we do? As a party gift?
Yep.
Hey, here, you could be the first owners
of
Oxygen. All right. So it is out there.
And
People have copies.
Yeah. I'm sure they do. I'm sure they've all burned it.
Okay. So Carson Daly's not doing much right now. Okay, he's just hosting the Today Show. That's not too stressful. So yeah, I'm sure we could relaunch TRL just on the base of Oxygen alone.
That's probably what you thought, though, right? Because TRL was so big, like that's where your head's going. You're like, all right, let's get.
I think I just was like, I can be Britney Spears. I can sing like that.
So then, when it doesn't happen,
I got into USC.
Right then.
Yeah, I was living in LA. I really wanted to go to Michigan. I didn't get into their musical theater program. I was devastated. And then before I heard from any other school, I found out I got into the BFA acting program at USC. And I was like, great, I'm going there. And my parents and my sister were like, that was kind of your backup school. You wanted to go to the East Coast. What are you doing? And I was like, I'm going to go to USC for a year. And I'm going to become a pop star within that year so where I can drop out of school and be done.
Holy shit.
I don't know what drug I was on that I thought that was going to happen. But
do you know that my plan was to drop out after sophomore year and move to New York and be on SNL.
Oh, that's a good one.
So close to
Why
doing
didn't
it.
You just go to New York for school then?
Because I wanted to. Well, I had an audition for NYU and our basketball playoff game was the same day. And I didn't want to skip the game.
Right, that makes
but,
sense.
But, I mean, who knows? I might have not have gotten in.
That's true.
But also, I want to stay close to home. LA was closer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, isn't that, like, I can't believe that you, so you were going to do a year and then just bounce.
Yeah, and then I realized halfway through, well, my freshman year, I think I just partied the whole time. So I was very into
Delta Gamma. Let's break this down for a minute. All right, so we meet day one.
Yeah.
At USC. 2001.
No, it was even before school started. It was at Hillel. It was our, remember we did the camping trip.
Hillel,
which I never went to
again. Welcome back to Jewish words Brad's never heard of.
H-E double hockey sticks? What?
No, Hillel.
Hillel?
It's the temple on campus.
Is that where, that sounds like the catchphrase that the crazy Jewish, Jewish neighbor on a sitcom says, like, oh, Hillel. That's what he does, right? When he introduces himself.
It's the Jewish Community Center.
Yes.
And
they did a camping trip, which
it was like a move-in early thing for the Jews. It was like basically like 3 days before the actual move-in day at USC, which I'm sure you remember, Brad. It's chaotic.
Yeah. That's when all the parents are parked on the curbs and everyone's
screaming at each other, crying,
walking in couches.
Forgot the mattress.
Yeah.
Oh, just go to Target. It's not open right now.
Yeah.
So chaotic. And so we go 3 days early on this. It was amazing because we got to move in. I remember getting in and like nobody was on my dorm yet.
Yeah.
And, but also we got to meet people, which was a huge benefit. And so, and it was like a camping trip and, we met there.
I remember we were sitting in a big circle in like the temple, like, cause it was like more like a community center or whatever. Yeah. And I remember looking at across the room and being like, oh, he's hot. And then I found out that you were in my BFA class, but then I found out you had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that's off limits. But then you asked me to our first dance.
Yep.
We went to the A-Pi.
Because that relationship was not strong. The one I was in. That was great.
Yeah.
That was, that was our first like sortie fraternity formal, right?
Yeah. And I remember you emailed me because you didn't have my number.
Yeah.
And I had like a usc.edu account or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, old school. What does Adam Ray say in one of these emails? Let's go inside the mind of a collegiate Adam Ray. How many times?
I think it was like.
How many times were Applejacks mentioned?
None of the first time. I think he was just polite. I think it was just like, hey, I have the AAPI like formal.
Yeah.
Do you want to go with me? I think it was very like.
It was just, you know, get right to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
State the facts.
Yeah.
Also, we've been in class for, you know, what, 4 or 5 months at that point? Maybe not even?
No, it was at the beginning of the year. It was fall. It was like September.
Whoa.
It was right after Rush.
Whoa.
It was pretty. I don't know. I have the pictures. I'll go look at the date.
But I think there was just good vibes recognized, you know?
Yeah.
Because our class, too, was, you know, 25 kids that were I mean, from all walks of life. And we ended with only, what, 13?
A 13, you're right. 13 or 11?
Maybe 11.
11.
Kids just dropping out or moving to other parts of the country. What were your first impressions of just, A, college in general, the theater program, and did you know anybody, like, in L.A. to even feel comfortable being there?
Well, my sister, Tara, was at USC at the time, and she was the Rush chair of DG. So I was lucky that I was going through Rush with, like, my sister and all of her friends at different sororities being, like, so I kind of, like, had an in at all of them.
Isn't that called, like, Legacy or something, right?
If somebody, it was a Legacy. Yeah. I was a Legacy. So I had her, and then, I went to camp. I went to theater camp with Kat Garson, who was a year above us in the BFA program, which is one of the reasons why I chose USC as well. Because she was like, I'm best friends with my class and everything's amazing. And then I got to USC and then like 3 months later, she dropped out of the BFA program. Jesus. I was like, thanks for the advice. Wait, so glad I'm here.
We should mention this theater camp is like the esteemed Stage Door Camp.
Yeah, Stage Door Manor.
Brett, have you heard of Stage Door Manor?
What is Stage Door Manor?
The happiest place on earth.
How dare you? I used to work at Disneyland. They have that trademarked. I will fight you.
Disney is the second happiest place on earth. No, so all Stage Door is...
I'm sharpening my knife.
Okay, turn it this way.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
You want to hear me better that way?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Stage Door is a performing arts program in upstate New York where people like Natalie Portman and Robert Downey Jr. and Lea Michele and I know a bunch of people went to.
A bunch of nobodies.
So I went for 9 summers.
9 summers?
9 summers, 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, 9 summers definitely would have been the follow-up to Oxygen.
If you had 100%. Oh my God. I would go back right now if they were like,
come
back. We
are writing your album.
I have dreams about it. I have dreams about going back to camp.
I know you do. I have dreams about it.
Well, I've heard legendary stories about, any camp. Come on.
But this camp was
there's
like,
a lot of fun there.
I mean, the focus on theater was just like your curriculum.
That's all you did.
It's all you did.
Yeah. You'd wake up, you'd go to rehearsal, you'd have lunch, you'd go to acting class, dance class, voice class, then you go to another rehearsal. Like, that's all you did. And you were surrounded by people where that's all that they loved. So
Was it annoying or was it just, it was inspiring?
No, it was inspiring.
Theater kids love other theater kids.
Yeah.
But there's always a couple that are like, dude, tone it down. We know you're going to win a Tony. So let's just fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
chill out.
Yeah, we definitely had a couple of those kids in my school.
Yeah. But those kids also, like, I don't know, make you better in a way because you're like, God, they're so good.
Yeah, you work harder. Like, I feel like I have, like, my best friend Julie, who I met at camp, she was so amazing at such a young age that I always felt like I wanted to work harder. She inspired me to work harder to be better, you know.
These camps were incestuous, too. Yeah, they had to have been. Or is everybody so focused?
Let's be honest. The guys were gay there, so.
Whoa!
Yeah.
No, as a guy who attended three theater camps.
Yeah. You're the only gay guy.
Being a straight guy.
Yeah, it was pretty easy. Two straight. Well, I did have my first kiss at camp, so there were a few straight guys, but they never did the musicals. They just did the plays.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Who do you still keep in touch with his first kiss?
Evan Cult. Yeah, Evan.
Yeah.
It was on a dare though.
Whoa.
Yeah, but then he asked me to be his girlfriend, so it's all okay.
Right after the dare?
We tried.
Yeah, pretty close after,
to make it legit.
Yeah, he did.
All right, well, respect.
That's a good way to do it, because there's so much anxiety with that first kiss, and it's like, it does kind of take away some of the pressure if it was a dare. I have to do this.
Julie was watching because she dared us, and she had to watch to make sure we did it. So my first kiss, my best friend was watching.
Supervised.
Yeah, totally.
Hold on.
Totally supervised.
Wait, didn't I read this in Penthouse?
Yeah, you did.
The best friend was there. Yes, I did read this in Penthouse.
Oh God!
So as college, like, how do you just? Because I think everybody, like, I mean, those first weeks, days, it's like, I mean, I wanted to move back home after the first semester because I felt so overwhelmed and not connected. I feel like I knew a lot of people, but I didn't have people that I just. I mean, the in our class, I felt very connected with a lot of people. You, Jake, Adam, Lisa, but like, I still. I mean, only 4 months is not enough to really, because you're also getting pulled in so many directions in college. You're like trying to make friends, but you're trying to be active in what you're doing. Our curriculum was so intense that it was like there was a lot of work, but you're trying to balance that out with being like, well, I can't just work the whole first semester.
Well, I feel like the first year I really didn't like SC. It was way too, because they try and get all of our like general education out of the way.
Yeah.
So I feel like all we were doing, we had like, the acting class with Jim, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And besides that, we were like I don't know. And I was just partying. So I actually was looking to transfer into a conservatory program. I almost transferred to BU because right before we started school, I was like, I made the wrong decision. I should have chosen BU. It's like a more of a theater school, like, and like really strict drama. And then
if you
I
had
got
transferred,
lazy.
I would have died.
Oh my gosh. That. Oh, yeah. That's really scary. And Adam. I met, you know, my husband, he was in our acting program. So what would have happened if I transferred?
Holy shit.
Isn't
all right,
that crazy?
Put a pin in that because that's crazy. Brad doesn't
first
know
of all,
that.
I don't know this story. Now, I've heard Adam refer to it a couple times, but when he said several times that you've saved his life.
Yeah.
Now, I need to know, is this like a save the life the way like some teenage girls like, oh my God, I like literally like just died. It's like, no, you didn't. You just missed a ticket for the fucking movie. Like that's not like, or did you legit like did you swing in on from something? Was he about to fall off the cliff? What happened?
Pretty close.
Well, yeah. So I was directing a play that he was in. He was the lead in.
It was our senior year.
We had like 2 weeks left of school.
This play called Sophistry, very famous play. You got the rights to.
Yeah. We're doing it in Hollywood.
Directed it, produced it, like did the whole thing. It was a handful of kids from our program. Great play. And it was like just such a big endeavor to close out your school year doing. And we rehearsed for, I mean, I don't know how many months.
3 months?
Four months? Yeah. And audition everything, and so I got the lead guy, and we were rehearsing for a handful of months, and then we start the shows, and we're also in class.
We were in tech, by the way, when this happened. We were in tech. We were supposed to open that weekend.
You know what
we
had tech like one is, right,
Brad? Dude, I did tons of high school theater.
That's right. Okay, good. Okay, good.
I know what tech is.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
Not the host from Real World.
Yeah, there's downstage and upstage. You know that one, too?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
good.
I'm aware. And
so...
I know how to step ball change.
I isolate that audio.
Got a mean step ball change.
So it was... a very just intense time because like the show's getting ready to open, but we're also in class. So it was like, we were doing all these scenes in class and, you know, I lived with Adam and Jake and Tori and we lived, like off campus a little bit. And you know, the late hours, the rehearsing, the pot, everything, the wearing down your body. And then I wake up this one morning and I start feeling, actually it's at night, I start feeling like I'm swallowing. It's really tough to swallow, like I'm swallowing over like a softball.
And you were famous for swallowing back then, so that's, that's really bad.
So this was rare, the fact that I couldn't get it down.
I mean, come on.
And so, I remember Tori being like, just smoke through it, right? Our buddy who, in our acting class with two chinchillas and he dealt weed.
Oh my God, the chinchillas.
Two chinchillas named Boomer and Mama, who eventually ate each other. And so...
put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, that is a Pixar movie that will never get made. Killer chinchillas. Yeah. And so, chinchilla killers. And so, he's like, just smoke through it. And so I did smoke. And then I was like, felt worse. And then I wake up at like 7 a.m. And I think I left you a message. I don't know when I called you, but I went to the USC Health Center at 8 a.m. because I just couldn't sleep. And I was like, this is crazy. I literally, it hurts so bad to swallow. And so I go to the health center. They gave me some condoms, which I was like, not even close to what's happening.
Pretty much what they always do. I had one thing at the USC Health Center where I came in. I had some minor back pain. They're like, oh, your kidneys are probably failing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, they're like, yeah, that happens all the time. And you come with a little back pain and all of a sudden you're pissing blood. I'm like... Mm-hmm. I'm 20. Like, what the fuck?
I sprained my ankle.
They're
like, herpes.
Yeah.
Like, not even close.
Yeah.
You're not a real doctor. And so they give me some penicillin and I go back to my apartment and try to like rest it off. And then is when I called you. I think it must have been, I want to say our class was at noon and we had to do a scene together, right?
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
So this is, we had to do a scene in class.
Wait, was that when we were doing, was that Zane's class?
Yes.
We were doing Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so I call her and I go, I think it's like 9:30, 10:00. And I go, I'm not going to make it to class. Like, I just feel like shit. I can't do this scene today. And we all, there's all days when everyone would be like, I can't do the scene. I'm not prepared. I didn't work on it. I'm out. I'm just going to like, and you would not show up or just tell the teacher like, we got to do this next week because we're not prepared.
My grandma died for the 12th time.
Yeah. Yeah. She came back to life and died again. It's crazy.
Oh my God,
yeah.
It's crazy.
So I was like, I just can't do it. And then she's like, all right, are you okay? I'd left you a message and you called me and you're like, you sound like shit. And I was like, yeah, it really hurts.
You asked me for the number of a doctor.
Yeah.
You said, I think you said like, I feel they gave me medicine, but I still feel like, do you have another doctor? And I almost said to you, here's the number. And I said, hold on one sec, I'll call. So I called my ENT in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And the doctor I normally see wasn't there, but they're like, it was Dr. Sugarman, right?
Sugarman, yeah.
Dr. Sugarman.
Or Cantor, yeah. No, it was Sugarman.
Sugarman,
yeah.
I think. It's like, Dr. Sugarman is here. And I was like, here's the address. And then I was like, no, you know what? I'm just going to drive you.
Well, I'm the lead in your show. We are opening the next weekend. And so.
No, we were opening in like 2 days.
Maybe two. Oh, wow. Okay. So this is very intense. And so, you know, she's like, I don't care about class, but I remember you saying on the phone, like, you sound like shit. I'm coming to get you. So she comes to get me. We drive to, it's really hurting, like not panicking really.
I remember you being in the car and I remember being on the 10 and you going, like you were like clearing your throat. And I was like, oh my God, what is happening? Like it wasn't normal. It wasn't like my throat's burning every time.
No.
He kept going like, like, oh my God, what's happening?
So you're starting to freak out.
A little bit, but yeah. What am I going to say to you? What's like, I mean, we probably thought, I mean, I'm also sitting there going, okay, so the show opens in 2 days. Maybe we'll have to push and not open. I mean, I think it was a Thursday. I think we opened on a Friday.
We did, yeah. And so we get in there. They put this thing. He's like, I need to check out your, he's like, yeah, he starts feeling around. He's like, that doesn't feel good. So he takes this tube that has a camera on it. And never have this happen to you if you can avoid it. They numb up the shit and then they put it up your nose like this and down your throat with the camera to look at your thing. And immediately, I don't know if you remember that moment, but he just was like, oh, this isn't good.
That's a good thing for you.
That's
hear from
the opposite of what you want to hear. Yeah. And we both were like, what? And then he's like, your throat, your air passageway is closing up. Your air passageway is closing up.
There you go.
Hey, I'll take things I don't want to hear for $1,000, Alex.
Yeah.
And I remember Kaylee, I remember just turning to Kaylee and I mean, you were on the verge of tears and you were just like, what does that mean? And then it
means
he's like,
his air passageway
is closing
up.
Do we need to call like an ambulance? Like,
do we need to get him some Sudafed? Like
he told us to get in the car and drive to Cedars away.
He goes, go to the ER. He goes, you need to admit him to the ER. He needs to get antibiotics and all this. He needs to get, he showed us on the thing that basically like, this is like my air passageway. And I had what he thought was epiglottitis, where your epiglottis gets a one in like 500,000 bacteria and swells up and covers up my air passageway. And it was like this. And he goes, if you don't get over to the ER, it's going to be like that. And then you'll be like that. He didn't do that. But he goes,
you'll be dead.
Yeah. And
got to get your epiglottitis figured out, which sounds like a European basketball player.
Yeah. He's starting for the Knicks next year.
Sure.
So then Kaylee's like, remember, you're like, well, is he going to be able to act this weekend? And literally this dude did not need to say this, goes, I don't think he's going to be acting for a very long time. Oh, man.
Well,
the last thing I want
to
hear.
To be fair, he had seen your previous performances and thought, well, come on.
Hang it up. It's probably a blessing and a curse.
This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Let go of the dream.
And then, that was like, I remember then you just went into full-on panic mode.
Well, I remember we got in the car, I drove over there, but literally what would have happened if it closed up as I was driving? Like, why didn't we call an ambulance? Like, what? I don't understand.
So we get over to...
at least you're in Los Angeles, which doesn't have any traffic.
Oh, wait.
100%.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we get over there, and it took a minute, and then we get in, and I start getting admitted, and they put in all this shit, and they hook me up to all this stuff, and I'm like, what's going on? They're like, your shit's closing up.
Meanwhile, remember, we're 21 years old, okay? Yeah. So, like, it's not even
never
like this
dealt
now.
With this.
Like, what, I mean, and I mean... We're best friends, but like, do I call your mother? Who do I call?
Yeah.
Like, who do I call?
Yeah. Adam, who is your next of kin?
Yeah.
Who are you leaving your Sega Genesis to?
Do you give Puddin just the most amount of paranoia?
Did I call Puddin or did you?
I think I called her eventually, like hours later when I got it. After they had hooked me all up and everything was good, I was like, Mom, don't freak out. And she goes, what? I go, I'm in the hospital. And she goes, I'll be there tomorrow. I was like, let me tell you what's going on first.
By the way, tomorrow, you can't get on a flight today?
Come
on, Puddin,
I called her
up.
Like 9 p.m.
Yeah,
okay. After I'd taken two Ambien, which by the way, they put, I couldn't sleep. The woman, she's like, so Mr. Ray, if you can't sleep, okay, I got you, call me up. Okay, I'll bring in something to make you go to bed. And this is after I'd had like 19 Jellos because I couldn't eat anything hard. And so she, I call her in. I'm like, I just can't sleep. Can you bring me something? And there's two Ambien in the cup. You don't need to take two. But if they're both in there, I'm thinking you take them. Next thing you know, I see my grandparents wheeling around on the ceiling, telling me everything's going to be okay. And I'm just like, all right, I need to try to get some sleep.
Yeah.
But prior to that, the doctor had said, I was like, well, what would have happened if we didn't get over there? Yeah. He's like, you would have taken that penicillin, would not have done shit. You would have just stayed in your apartment and probably like within the hour, like just suffocated. Isn't that crazy?
They were like, he probably would have taken a nap and woken up and woken up and not been able to breathe.
Yeah, not been able to breathe.
I think you were going to take a NyQuil or something too to help you sleep. So you would have actually, maybe you wouldn't have.
Oh, I probably just would have died in my sleep.
That's really fucking horrible.
Wow. And isn't that crazy? So do we know what's caused that?
No, but then didn't it happen to you again? 1 in a million bacteria?
Bad acting? Yeah. What's that? What is
Cat
it?
Cat in a hot twin room. Yeah.
Do not read that.
Do not do that scene with Kaylee. That was like rough. Yeah. I remember that. I hated that. I hated that scene.
Apparently, Catcher in the Rye makes you a serial killer.
100%.
Cat on the Hot Tin Roof
gets you epiglottitis.
Which, God, he has a great finger roll.
Yeah. It was terrifying. But, like, that's why, and my mom called Kaylee last year on my birthday and left her this message. She'll probably call you again this year, thanking her for saving my life.
That's so sweet.
Because also, it's like, you'd have the wherewithal to be like, you sound awful, I'm just going to take you there. Because I wouldn't have done that. I would have, like, dilly-dallied and been... Because also, when something like that happens, you just downplay it and you're like, I'm fine. Because I couldn't feel it closing up.
Sure.
Until when I got in the hospital and they started to, like, hook me up, I'm sure the nerves and stress started to, you know, contribute. But I definitely started to go, like...
But also...
Oh man, all right. Like, you guys better get those juices inside me.
We didn't know how much longer it was going to until your throat was going to close up. So you could have been sitting there, by the way, and it could have closed up as they were putting everything in. It was definitely scary.
And then the show, and then, you know.
So you did end up getting to do the show. We couldn't do, we were supposed to do 3 weekends. We only did 2. We didn't do the first weekend.
Pussy.
We canceled. I did try and recast you as you were in the hospital. I was calling people. I called Patrick Adams, you know, Patrick Adams from Suits. I called Patrick. Yeah. I was like, can you learn this part in 24 hours?
He's really like, yeah.
And I was like, I don't care if you go on stage with a script, but like, I've paid for the theater. I've sold tickets.
Put a bunch of money into it.
And he was like, I don't know. He said he couldn't do it. But I was like, and everyone's like, Jess, it's 1 weekend. We'll reopen next weekend. It's not a big deal. It's like a 20-seat theater. It's like 20 people aren't going to care. It was probably just your friends and family anyways.
Yeah, for sure. But I get that.
Yeah. But it was a bummer. But it all worked out.
It all worked out.
You know what's crazy too about the story is so my husband, Adam, who was in our BFA acting class.
Yes, and was my best friends.
A-Ray's roommate. So we had been like kind of like
I just love people from your past. They'll call you A-Ray.
Her folks call, like, literally
everyone calls you
here's
A-Ray.
The thing about nicknames, dude. In elementary school I was in class with 3 Adams, so everybody called me Ray, right?
Okay.
And then there was French and Carlton, because those were their last names.
Yep.
Then you get to high school and people basketball, like Sugar because of basketball, and Ray, and Sugar Ray was popular. Mm-hmm. And then get to college and I've never offered these nicknames up. People just give nicknames. And people started calling me A-Ray, and then, like,
I didn't... Well, that's because you were also in class with Adam.
Yes.
But people would call him Westbrook.
Westbrook, his last name.
Yeah.
People just love nicknames, too.
But I always called Adam. I never called
him. And your nickname's Stick. That's why my nickname's always been Big Dick Magoo. I mean...
Is that what your wife calls you?
Yeah. I mean, God, well, she got it from a high school
girlfriend. When they're
role-playing. Yeah. And then just sort of got passed around. They read it on 4chan? I don't
that's
know.
Awesome.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I probably shouldn't say 4chan. It's probably Reddit. That's probably a better...
What's 4chan? Oh,
I don't know. I think it has some alt-right connotations.
Oh, God.
Nice.
Yeah, so I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, that, so you wouldn't have met Adam.
No, so Adam and I were, like, hooking up, and he was, like, being non-committal, which, because that's how he is.
Yes.
What?
And
a dude?
I know. No way.
By the way, let's talk about where, because in our apartment, it was a classic college, like, duplex thing where we had this guy named Blake who lived above us who we had to lock out with PlayStation controllers.
By the way, haunted and so creepy.
Oh, that's what I want to talk about, Brad. Kale is definitely a believer in spirits and ghosts.
Yeah, we'll
get
there.
And I know you. Yeah, we'll get there. But she was like, oh, your guys' place is definitely full of some crazy supernatural shit. So we did a Ouija board one night. You remember that? You, me, Dara, Adam, and I think Jake.
No, I'm so glad I blocked that out.
Yeah.
I hate that freaking board.
I was so against those things until this shit, because I'm always like, you're moving it. But at one point,
Jake always moves it, by the way. I played with him in Vail. He always moves it.
Have you ever done a Ouija board?
I have. It said I was tall, dark, and handsome, and I was like, nope.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. Wrong.
But it definitely told us, like, the age and gender of the ghost that was living in our
apartment. That's right. I do remember this.
It was like a 73-year-old woman. And because cabinets kept opening and there were things that you kept picking up on.
Yeah.
But I would always ask, I was like, Adam, what's your move here? Because he slept, we had three bedrooms. But Adam, to just add to our lease, stayed in a corner in Tori's room.
He did.
So, Brad, imagine this being a room, and then where that couch is, there was just a chain fence around it and a mattress in the corner. And you're like, oh, who sleeps there? The chinchillas? No, Adam did.
Yeah,
my husband. So we were always like, But it was, you know, it's just what we had to do to make room in the place for all of us to be there. So we'd be like, dude, if you're going to have Kaylee come over, are you going to say, do you want to go back to my cage?
No,
like,
we were never at that apartment. No. He always came over to my apartment.
Yes, wonder
which
why.
Was way cooler.
Yeah. Way better. No, but the night, no cages. So the night that he was in the hospital was the night that Adam and I officially got together, was he came over afterwards, after we left you at the hospital, he came over to my apartment, and that's when we officially started our
relationship.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're welcome for almost dying.
Thank you. Thank you for almost dying.
Yeah.
He finally was like, okay, we'll date. But then, it was like not all rainbows and, you know, butterflies from there on out.
You know what's amazing about that? You get to really, truly see who your friends are when you go through something like that. Because the amount of people, and Puddin did come the next morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys came, a few other people from class. My girlfriend at the time, who since went on to
be a
successful reporter and a cameraman in Reno, which I famously written a song about. Yeah. YouTube, Adam Ray Reno Cheater. It's up there. The whole story's there. Huh? She'd come a lot.
Well, but never.
I got that joke
in
first.
She never came.
I said it first. It's my ex and my joke.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. She didn't come to the hospital?
You're too late. Well, I never came with you either, so I just figured.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She,
I signed up for that.
But on a side note, she was tough to get off. But so, but that, she didn't, she was doing a show at the time, a Broadway show. A Broadway show, a musical theater show at SC. And was like, I'm not, I can't, like, rehearsal's going late. And I also was like, you know, don't inconvenience. Like, I'm fine now.
Yeah.
I got these Ambien in me. I'm fucking, I feel like you, I thought you were here. I'm hallucinating, you know.
Right.
But I was like, don't worry about it. But also, fight through that urge if you're the girlfriend and be like, I'm coming anyway, right?
Yeah, totally.
In hindsight, man. I was just like, you didn't even try to just get the address and show up.
That's
if
weird.
I would have known.
That's weird. I don't remember that.
If I would have known you were on Ambien, I would be like, no, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there right now. Like, as you're on the phone, like,
you don't see me?
You don't see me?
Who do you think gave you that applesauce? I thought that was my foot.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So did you like the theater experience at SC? Because I feel like college for all of us definitely.
I'm, you know, look.
Are you glad you went?
I'm glad I went because I feel like the relationships, my friendships, clearly Adam, you know, meeting him, I it was clearly the right choice for whatever reason. But I feel like, looking back, I would have been happier in a full conservatory program. It was fine.
Grass is always greener, but at the same time, I think, you know, it certainly gave you skills. It gave you it gave you relationships, which now you're turning into all these great projects. So
Let's talk about what you've done. Because here's what's crazy: to not only stay in the program like we did, but then there's, you know, a lot of people that find other avenues to be productive in, and, like, you know, we've got friends that have worked on the office side of the business, but, like, that is the true challenge, at least that I faced, which was like, oh, now that we have this structure, not that we're not in this thing where it's like 9 to 6, here's what you do, and you have this small amount of time to figure out what you're going to do after that, you're thrust into the world of like, oh, now it's all on me to fill my time and build something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And the first thing you did was, well, we did Sophistry at the end of college, and then you did another show, right?
Yeah, I did Good Thing, which we produced in Hollywood. And then after that, I created Marry Me.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I was auditioning during that time and booking, like, small, like, co-star stuff. But it was, like, a weird time because it was also, we graduated and then the writer's strike happened, like, a year and a half later. So everything got really quiet. So that's when I went and starred in Marry Me, which was like one of the first web series, really.
Yep.
When
yeah.
I was going out and taking meetings after, people were like, what's a web series?
Isn't that crazy?
And now it's just kind of second nature. We all know what it is.
I mean, you can't even really call it a web series anymore. Yeah. I mean, with Series Fest, we call it digital short series because web series has this, like, weird connotation that it's like,
well, because, you know, technically Netflix is a web series.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, 100%. Yeah.
Where you have to go onto a website or something or have an app. Yeah. So to call something a web series now is kind of like, it's this weird gray area. But so you're way ahead of the curve that way.
Yeah.
What were the challenges you faced, like, graduating and then going, all right, what's my first, like, how am I going to, you know, because I think we all then build this big idea of like, oh, man, here's where I kind of want to be, but what are the steps I need to start doing it? And you were like, I'm going to produce shows? Like, that's my...
No, I need to be doing a lot of things. I don't do well waiting around. So even though, like, I had a manager, I would get really frustrated not being in control. Like, at least if you're in a program, you're doing shows all the time. Like, I felt like I needed to stay active. Sorry, what was the question?
Oh, just like how, like filling your time and like, yeah. And these projects, like the web series, like where did that come from to go, oh, I'm going to.
I mean, a few people had said, go create something for yourself. Because yeah. I also felt like I kept getting cast as the assistant. I kept going in the room and saying the same three lines over and over again. Yeah. And I'm like, did I really do Cat on a Hot Tin Roof just for this? I was like, yeah. I did Shakespeare for years and you're asking me to walk into the room and go, you know, here's your coffee, sir. And it's just like, and I'd walk in the room and get nervous because, and then it's like, here's your tea, sir. It's like, no, it's coffee. Okay. Like, I can't even remember fucking that.
What beverage is this kidding. Fucking guy
I
drinking?
I could remember the beverage. Yeah. But yeah, and I liked the process of writing, but really was like creating something, you know,
and for the collaborative myself to act in. Yeah, effort you've always
that's
liked.
The thing. Like, I love collaborating. I love really being able to create something and bring something to life with a group. I think that's what's so special about being on any set.
Yeah.
Is really like the collaboration that happens between like all the departments.
And that's something that now when you go to any meeting, any agent or manager tells their clients is, well, you just got to create your own thing. You got to create your own content. So, yeah. if you're thinking about getting into this type of business or you're already in this business and you're not, and you're wondering why it's not going anywhere, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
Like just start doing the thing that you want to do. Like now, thankfully we're living in a time where anyone can start a podcast. Anyone can have a YouTube show. Anyone can have like, you can start doing your own things it doesn't cost you a ton of money. Back in the day, you had to go grab cameras that were like $10,000 each. Now right. you can literally record podcasts on your phone,
right?
Which you already have. You can shoot really decent movies on your phone and just use GarageBand and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but who's really doing that and selling that stuff? Have we yet? Like, I keep hearing people say that, but like, where is that film that was shot just on an iPhone?
Well, that movie at Sundance a few years ago.
Which one?
What was it called? Was it Tangerine or something? It was shot all on an iPhone. Oh, I guess really? They did spend a lot of money in post, I heard afterwards, but it was like this whole thing at Sundance 3 years ago that they shot a whole movie on an iPhone.
Wow. Okay.
So people do
other than that.
Other than that one movie at Sundance.
Other than one at Sundance. Yeah.
No, but it's true. I mean, but I think the whole point of like filling your time and just staying active and doing it. Like, I think
putting in the reps.
Yeah.
Getting involved in the field that you want to be in, whether it be comedy or podcasting or movies, whatever, just start making them.
And I think the thing is, too, is like it opens doors to meeting people like on every time you just go, even if it's small, even if you are just doing it on your iPhone. You know, with Marry Me, like I met, you know, Sherwin Shalotti, who ended up directing the feature that I did, People You May Know. And that just started from me going, I want to do, you know, a web series. And you just never know where any relationship is going to lead, you know, and who you're going to meet in an acting class and, you know, doing a one day thing that you think maybe is a waste of time. And you end up meeting someone and you're recommended for something else.
Have you always had that mindset, or did people kind of instill that in you? Like, do jobs, do take opportunities, even if you can't see an immediate result from it, because everything begets.
I think I had to learn that on my own. I think that if people had said it, I didn't really hear it.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear it until I actually experienced it. And I actually was like, oh, this, every time you say yes to something, even if it's not exactly what you wanted it to be, you're going to learn, you're going to meet someone, it's going to open the door, as long as it feels good. Like, if you're doing something and you're like, this does not feel right, I don't want to be doing this, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I see that with a lot of comics when they start out. Mm. They're just like, oh, I got off to do this show, but it's all the way out in bumfuck nowhere, and they don't pay. I should be getting paid. I'm like, no, you shouldn't. No one wants to pay you.
Yeah.
So you just have to get experience. You have to go on stage. You have to do whatever it is. You have to get those reps in so that when you do get the big opportunity, then you've had the practice.
Yeah.
You put in the reps to where you know, like, oh, I know what to do in this situation.
Well, I have to say, we had a hard time getting our SAG card. You get out of school and you're like, you can't audition unless you have your SAG card. And you're like, well, I've been in school for 4 years. So, I had a friend of a friend who worked on a TV show, and they got me 3 days doing extra work to get me my SAG card.
There you go.
And I was like really kind of pissed when I got there in a way, because I was like, I should be in front of the camera. Like, I should be the lead. Like, why am I here at 4 a.m. and sitting here in the back? Like, I'm the one with the BFA acting degree, you know? And then when you sat there and I actually watched what happened on the set. I actually saw what a first AD did. I actually saw what all of it, what the director did. And I wouldn't, if I had just jumped in and booked the role that I wanted to, I would have probably gotten on set and felt like completely overwhelmed because I wouldn't have understood. And so I'm grateful for those, you know, now I'm grateful for those moments. Maybe then I wasn't.
Sure. And you oftentimes need those experiences and then you need them to happen. So then when you look back, you go, oh, right, that's what that all meant. And that's, those all led to something and, and it all built upon each other. But yeah, when you're going through it in the moment, you're like, why am I not a fucking star?
Yeah.
How does producing...
I'm still like, why am I not a fucking star? You're like,
that never goes away.
What was your question? You're like, you know, you thought you were going to be somewhere. I'm like, I still don't, I'm 36 and I still am not where I thought I was going to be at 36.
That's part of though, everybody deals with that. Like even I've heard stories from people that are, I mean, I'm sure Will Smith is never has those thoughts, but like, but I'm sure a little bit like
I want to be Aladdin, not the genie.
Yeah, I mean, look, dude.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But like, there, I think that you know drives you right to keep and also to keep like with people you may know. Great movie if you haven't seen it on iTunes, Amazon, so wherever you can get right?
Netflix. Yeah,
Netflix. Yep, yeah. That's right. You, Nick Thune, and Sherwin wrote it. Right?
Yeah, Sherwin wrote it and directed it.
And directed it. And so, like, that to me is just insane to put a movie together like that. Like, to do, I mean, even just doing the plays and the web series are big endeavors, but, like, how did you even then transition your mind to, like, all right, now it's time to do a movie, and where do you even start with that?
Well, so I feel like... I booked this Broadway show in New York called The Performers. I was understudying Alicia Silverstone.
Whoa.
Clueless, yeah. Never mind. after that, it closed really quickly, and I never got to perform. It was, we opened on a Thursday. On Friday morning, on my way to my first rehearsal as an understudy, I got the call that we were closing on Sunday.
Emotional and roller coaster.
It was, like, extremely devastating because you feel like, I finally made it. This has been my dream my whole life. I'm going to have my Broadway, like, debut. Everyone was like, she has a child. The child's going to get sick. You're going to perform all the time.
No way.
Like, I have, like, text messages from the director and people being like, your audition was amazing and you're going to now work all the time in New York and this is going to be it. And I was like, this is it.
This is it.
This is what I've been dreaming of my whole life. And it's finally happening. And I was like marching up from 30th Street and I'm like, this is amazing. And my phone rings and all of a sudden I pick it up. I'm like, hello. And you know, it's the producers. And I literally didn't recognize the producer's name because why would the producers be calling me? And they're like, well, we're really sorry to say the, you know, reviews were mixed. And so unfortunately we're going to be closing. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, when? They're like, Sunday. I'm like, it's Friday morning. Oh, so like, man. Absolutely devastating. And it took me like a really long time. I still get emotional about it. It took me like a really long time to recover from something like that. Cause like you have so much energy riding towards it. And like, just having that moment of like, I'm going to be on a Broadway stage doing what I love. Like my
dream. At least before one of your friends almost died. So you had that to like close a show, you know, you're like, oh, okay, well that's a worthy cause.
Right now it's like real life. Not like your life is in real life. I don't know.
It almost wasn't real anymore.
So I think after that, you know, it took me a while to recover. I was auditioning in New York. I wasn't even getting callbacks. I wasn't booking. I moved back to LA. I was doing casting director workshops and still not really booking anything. And I got really distracted within my wedding for a year, which was a nice distraction, I think, because otherwise may have just like gotten really depressed. Yep. And when I graduated with my husband, when we got married afterwards, I was like, before we have kids, I need to go do something for me. What do I want to do? I want to be acting. What does that look like? Is it a feature? Is it a TV pilot? Is it, what is it? And I sat down with Sherwin and his wife, Shelley, who is our producer on Marry Me. And we're like, let's do something together. Let's go create that. What is that? And we decided it was a feature. And I was just like, you know, no one else is going to do it for me. No one else is going to give me a lead role and let me go do what I love. So let's just create the opportunity for myself. And that's basically what I did we decided in September or October of 2014 to do it. And then we actually were shooting a year later, which was really quick to find the idea. Yes. Michael Mohan had a treatment. We bought it. Sherwin wrote the script. We shot it a year later. But then the whole process afterwards took so long. Like I didn't realize how long post and then selling it. Like it was, I mean, it didn't come out till 2017.
You know? I'm amazed that when certain projects come out and then like that the stars then have to talk about these projects that they worked on 3, 4, 5 years ago that now they're just, oh, now it's sold. Okay. Now we can talk about it.
Totally. It's so, it was so weird. Just, I mean, I lived with it for so long too, cause I saw it from treatment stage and I helped develop the script as producer. So like Frankie was so ingrained in me. I knew like every detail about, you know, her life. And then all of a sudden we got on the red carpet for the premiere and someone like asked me a question and I was like, Oh, that's right. I'm like here to talk about like my experience on this movie. Like it was so strange because it's like we shot this 2 years ago. Yeah. Like we shot October, November of 2015 and the movie came out in November of 2017. So it's crazy.
It's so good and you're
Thank
so
you.
Good in it.
Thank you.
Nick's great. Usher's great.
Yeah, Usher's awesome.
How the fuck
He's
did
so
you
funny.
Get Usher in it?
Yeah, Usher has a cameo.
Yeah, Usher has a cameo. He's great. And he's awesome to work with. He came, yeah. He just played. He had so much fun. He's awesome.
Did it make you want to do another one? Or was it just like...
Yes, right after it was like, yes, I want to keep doing this. Let's keep doing this. But then the reality of being a producer on a film, of how long it takes afterwards of selling, of post and selling it. And
it's exhausting.
Yeah, it is. And even afterwards, stuff that I didn't even deal with, like... The camo, which is like how everyone gets paid afterwards. Like I like feel like I'm still dealing with, you know, paperwork and stuff that I was like, oh, like this is real. This isn't like a little play I did over at the Hudson Stage Theater. Now it's like I'm dealing with other stuff. So yeah, I want to do it again, but maybe not like that.
And even though it was a stressful situation, it was at the same time rewarding. And then did you create Series Fest after that?
So what's crazy is we decided to start Series Fest in January of 2015, and it was about the same week that I got the treatment for People You May Know. Like it was within the same week. On January 1st, I got the treatment for People You May Know, and on January 4th, Randy and I flew to Denver to scout to decide if we were going to start Series Fest. And at that point, Series Fest didn't have a name. We were like, we didn't know what the festival was going to be called.
Series Fest, by the way, which is just like, I mean, you amaze me on many levels as a friend and a creator and you are the one person in my life that has influenced me on a spiritual level to where I start to, I mean, Kaylee's the one who introduced me to tarot cards and
because they're called tarot cards, not tarot.
Nope, they are tarot and they are based on the parrot, the Fruit Loops parrot. His uncle's name was Tarot.
Doesn't
Fuck
repeat,
you, Brad.
It doesn't repeat your fortunes back to you. You'll find strength in your love life.
All right, tarot cards. Healing crystals. Astrology. Like, I remember there were days when I was like, God, I'm just feeling like I didn't get this, and I got hit by a car, and this happened, and my sandwich was half eaten when I got it.
And I'm like, Mercury's in retrograde.
Yeah, and I was like, no, or I'm having a shitty day, and you're like, because of this.
Yeah, I'm like, look, Mercury's in retrograde. Yeah. Like, it's everything. Yeah.
It is everything.
God damn Mercury.
Mercury. It depends on how you use Mercury.
It's always in, it's fucking retrograde.
It feels like that lately. It's not like, though. Actually, I don't know when it's going back in retrograde. I should check
Mercury,
my calendar.
Mercury in retrograde is like me and my refractory period. It's just it's just always there. It's just constantly. I'm in one right now.
but with Series Fest like that too, like that because the first one you did, which was what now 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And first of all, tell people what it is.
Yeah. So Series Fest started as a 3-day festival. We're very similar to a film festival, but we focus only on episodic content. But we've now grown into a 6-day festival and a year-round organization. We're a nonprofit now. So we do year-round initiatives, education, professional development opportunities, and then the festival, which is coming up June 21st through the 26th, year five in Denver.
Tickets available at seriousfest.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Tickets available, passes available, go buy passes.
You got to go. There's so many events and screenings and panels. You've turned into a straight up like, you know, think about any sort of like, you know, Bonnaroo, Coachella, like for music. And this is that for entertainment, for TV,
thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and just think, I'm like, yeah, sure, we all know what Sundance is now. Yeah. But there was one time when Sundance was literally like this little small, tiny film festival in a small town. And that's why they had it there. So it could remain small. Now it's this crazy industry thing.
Well, we get compared a lot to Sundance, which is nice in the sense that, you know, Sundance is so influential.
It's reputable.
It's so impactful.
Yeah.
And I think it's the easiest thing to compare us to. But we've had a few people that have come that said, this feels like Sundance in the 90s, which when it was small and you could, everyone was approachable and you could get into every party.
Yeah, right.
So it'll be interesting to see how we grow, because we've really grown a lot in the past 2 years, to see how we can keep hold on to that, but continue to grow and be able to do you know, other events. And I'm sure we're going to grow past 6 days in the next couple of years.
I mean, the first one I went to was, the opening, by the way, was at Red Rocks.
Yeah.
And it was John Legend, Whitney Cummings, and Adam Ray.
And you.
And guess what? People still talking about my performance. And by that, I mean me. And and
you were great. I was laughing.
It was awesome. But
and then it rained.
And then it rained. And then people were just like, where's John Legend?
Yeah.
And I was like, I could just sing his songs. And there was all these like readings, iRobot, I'm sorry, Mr. Robot premiered there.
Yeah.
And now you, Stevie Wonder is doing the opening night at Red Rocks.
It's actually our centerpiece now.
Centerpiece.
So we move Red Rocks to the middle, because now that we're 6 days, it's easier for some people come. But we have Ted Sarandos for opening night this year.
It's fucking
followed
crazy.
By the premiere of The Rook, which is a new show on Stars starring Olivia Munn.
Damn.
And Olivia's coming out the cast. We have two other actresses from the cast coming out.
That's so dope.
Yeah, we have some other programming, which I think, what's today? I think we have another press release going out this week. So check the website, because we have another big announcement.
And that's just fantastic, because you always kind of hear things like, oh, well, I don't live in Hollywood. I don't live in New York. But like, okay, well, here's something dead center of the country.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of Hollywood in this area.
Yeah, because Colorado's not known for being like there's a lot of arts there, which you can attest to from living there. But like, this is, you've brought something, like when people are coming for this, right? Like, that's Hollywood getting to go there, and people getting to be around Hollywood. Like, that's, you're giving them an extra special experience, which, right, there's probably got to be extra cool feelings as growing up there, being like, oh, I'm bringing this experience to so many people that didn't ever get to see it.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like the Denver community, and like, I grew up going to acting class at the Denver Center Performing Arts.
Yeah.
And now I like meet with like their executive director about ways to partner with them. And
that's so cool.
We did our first year, we have a competition called our Storytellers Initiative, and we do live reads, and you acted in our live reads.
Yeah.
And it was at the Denver Center for Performing Arts. So it's really cool the way it ties back in. And last year, the governor, who's no longer governor, Governor Hickenlooper, spoke opening night the first year at Red Rocks. And he came back last year to do an event for us. And it was really cool to be in a room. It was a dinner hosted by Mike Fries, who owns Liberty Global, which owns Stars and Lionsgate. And
damn,
he was, you know, introduced us to this room of executives and the governor. And then I was able to talk about the influence that Denver has had on me growing up, and my love for theater, but also the way we're now giving back. And all, you know, we have a year-round educational program now in Denver, which is really cool. We do, there's a program in LA called Young Storytellers.
Yep.
So I had mentored and done that in LA, and we now have brought it to Denver. We did one school this year, and in the fall we're going to three schools, and we go into fifth grade classrooms and we teach them how to write scripts.
Wait, is this a program where like celebs come and
and do the live show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of kids' stories.
Yes. We brought it to Denver.
But were you involved in the one here?
I just mentored. I just like went on a week. Which was
so many of my friends have done that.
It's
comedians.
The best thing ever. And I travel too much
for the
now
invite.
To do it.
Shit.
You should 100%. You
Brad and I would definitely do it.
It's so fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
Brad, have you seen this? Kids write these stories and then you perform them for them.
It was honestly my favorite part of my week every week. But then because the kids need stability, it's hard if you're traveling a lot, which is the only thing I'd say.
Okay, I'll commit to that though.
Yeah.
I'll make time for the kids.
And so fun.
And that's one of those things where to see, as a child in that scenario, to see your words then come to life and be said by someone else and professionally and done, that can really be that thing that sparks that creativity into someone that goes like, oh, well, no, this is what I want to do like all the time.
Totally. Yeah.
I want to, I want to have not Brad Williams and Adam Ray read my lines, but like, I want to have like,
they do though.
Yeah. I want to have like, you know, big time, huge. Like, I want to have Thor read my lines. I was trying to think of his name. I couldn't.
Hemsworth.
Yeah, there he is. Sorry. I was just thinking of his pecs. Stuff.
Is it, you're rubbing elbows when you talk about like meeting with the execs of all these different things. And obviously, like, you know, you're so personable, and when they're coming in, I'm sure you're meeting and greeting them and welcoming them to everything.
Yeah.
Do you ever, I mean, you've always been that poised to just interact with people of that magnitude, but does it like, do, I mean, how do you, like, and for Brad and I, it's like, you know, we got to do some cool shit and be around some cool people. And we always, I think, as a defense mechanism, we'll go to jokes if we are nervous around somebody that is a big stature. So how do you? Is it just
that's everyone to me?
Yeah.
Just wanted to throw that in there. Kind of.
Yeah.
It's constantly looking like my normal life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I don't get nervous.
But yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Unless like, you just start humping their leg.
I mean, I go into like perfectionism of like, what do you need? How can I take care of you? What can I do? Do you need a drink? Can I get like everything has to be like some type A? So like everything.
But if someone's like, give me an elevator pitch on Sirius Festive if I want to give you some money or to partner or whatever, like, do you just lock in and you just.
Usually, yeah. Usually I can just. Yes. I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's honestly a lot of pressure, especially during the festival, because it's like you're on for 6 straight days and it has to be like,
Do you sleep? Where do you put your healing crystals?
Where do I put my healing crystals? Actually, I don't travel with a lot of crystals. Essential oils. That's really big for me. I meditate with them. I travel with them.
Meditate.
I put them in a bag with me when I go to, like, I'll take little breaks.
You have emotional support crystals on the plane.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Do you have ways that you can summon the song Oxygen to like make you feel better?
It's always in my head. You know the loop like that song.
Yeah,
it's always
that your chakra.
Yeah,
you know where you just keep repeating the lines.
You know what? Fuck you, because now every time I breathe in before my meditation, I'm totally gonna hear that song about oxygen.
Good.
You're my oxygen.
Yeah, my wait. What was that? I want to know. You're gonna have to give
you're
me the
my
song.
Oxygen.
I will not air it without your permission. But I gotta hear it.
Oh my God. I'm sure I sound horrible. Let's be very clear of why I didn't want to be a pop singer. Yeah. I cannot riff. I do not sound good singing pop music. And I should only be doing musical theater or classical.
Well, we gotta work on your attitude, first of all.
Yeah. Can do attitude.
My can do attitude.
I mean,
okay.
I mean, if you've made a series festival, you could make Oxygen be a hit.
There it is.
That's
Brad.
True. If I really, you're right. If I really wanted to be, I could do it.
Yes.
I mean, I could, honestly, I could have been a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Could have vlogged.
That was basically like the Brando line.
I could have been a contender. I could have been a YouTuber. I could have been a YouTuber. I could have sang Chocolate Rain. I could have done it.
I could have been in Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah. Stella.
Wait, Kaylee did just buy me some magic candles.
I did.
And I want this magic to segue candles. Before we close out in a handful of minutes. I want to talk about your interest in not only the self-care essential oils, crystals, but then like the
magic,
the tarot cards, the magic.
Yeah.
Like we go to the store over on
Sunset,
and Brad, it literally is filled with like, how do you describe it? The women, we walked out, I go, Kelly, these gals that are working here are the gals that are supposed to be here. You know, sometimes you go into a weed shop and the guy behind the counter is like, dude, it's good to see you, man. You're like, we've never met. He's like, nah, but I feel like I've met you in my heart. And you're like, oh, this guy should be at a weed shop 9 to 8 every day for the rest of his life because he's a weed guy. And the people at the store are just so comfort and just welcome and yes, magic candles. And so what is it about that world that that got you interested?
I've always been interested in the something bigger than us in a way that has nothing to do with religion.
Right.
When I was like 10 years old, I read a like palm reading book. I could like read your palm, like like fortune telling. Like I love fortune telling. I loved anything.
Don't
that
read
was-
my left one. Read okay. the right one.
Read the
wait, why?
Because I use the left.
Oh boy.
Oh, come on, guys.
I'm trying to lighten it up here.
Oh my God, guys. You're making me blush.
If I light it up, I mean make it very uncomfortable.
That's so funny. There's got to have been dudes, though, in times that have been like, yeah, like, don't, like, what if she did just read the left palm and she's like, this hand is overused? Like, would they ever say, you need to give it a break?
That's not what you're looking at. Yeah, you're looking at, like, the lines. Like, anywho, so I was very interested in that when I was younger. And then
you read books.
It was so easy when, in astrology, very into, like, my horoscope and being a Gemini and, and all
so
of that.
So how'd you deal with the conflict that happened like 2 years ago where like all of the signs were like, oh, we just didn't realize we were all wrong.
No, but there's also, you also have like your rising sign, which is not your, where people say it's your, you act more like another sign, which I don't pay attention. I'm a Gemini. I know I'm a Gemini. I have two personalities.
Yeah, me too.
I see both sides to everything, right?
We're good, right? Geminis, I think are... But they're creative, they're fun, but then they got their sides where they're like, I want to go out and party and be the social butterfly.
Yep.
And then I want to like do my own thing.
Totally.
And give me my space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Geminis. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've always, and then when we moved out to LA, I met this woman who was into color therapy, and she would do like readings of tarot cards, but instead it would be color. And so I just have always been really interested in
it. I don't see color, so I don't see how I would get.
Really? Are you colorblind?
Yeah. This is how I announce it.
Socially.
Really?
So, Kelly, I thought you were black the entire time.
No. Yeah, yeah. That's this is really the only reason why he was friends with you. He just wanted.
Needed a black friend.
Oh my
he wanted a black Jew friend.
Oh my like, God.
That's the most rare card in the tarot card set. Is the black Jew.
Wait, is there? Okay, so what about? So then color therapy, and then how does
and
this?
And then, I got, you know, I'm a Reiki master. Do you know this?
No.
Do you know? No. Okay, what so I'm Reiki a Reiki master.
Wait, no, Adam did tell me about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, so I do.
Is this
so
like the
I found.
Key master?
The who?
No.
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 Okay.
So what's the Keymaster?
It's a character from Ghostbusters.
No. Not the Keymaster. No, but Reiki is a form of healing through your hands where you get attuned to an energy.
Oh, yeah. Like this stuff where they rub them together and they put a little warmth over your...
Kind of. You don't have like to rub it together when you do it because there's other ways you get into it. But yeah, so I started doing about like 10 years ago and then I got attuned to... There's like four levels and the fourth is your... master level, but I don't do it like professionally. I just am at the level of a master.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
To
love
be a master of anything like that and have that label is awesome.
So like if you're ever on a plane and they go like, the man is down. Is there a doctor? You go, I'm a Reiki master.
I'm not going to be able to do
I'll repeat
anything.
The question again. Is there a doctor?
But if you said like, I have a headache, like the other night I was at dinner with a friend. She had a really bad headache and I went around the other side of the table and I said to her first, can I Reiki you? She said yes. And I did.
It's 2019. Thing. You have to
head,
ask for permission.
And her head did feel better.
Yeah.
Like certain people, like every experience is going to be different with it, but it's just like a form of relaxing and healing. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, why didn't you do that on Adam's throat?
Yeah.
I didn't have that tool back then.
I didn't have that tool yet. Yeah.
That would have saved.
We could have saved the whole doctor visit.
Yeah.
Done opening weekend. Wait, so, okay. How about the candles though? Because we just went to the store.
Yes. Okay. So this store.
Kaylee bought me these magic candles.
By the way, we went to like my favorite restaurant that I used to order from like
Chibo.
Every day.
Chibo. Sponsor
so
the
good.
Pod. You're the best.
The best fries. Yeah. So we went over there and I forgot when we were leaving, there's this store where there's this famous psychic that works upstairs, which I'm blanking on her name right now. I think it's DePaul. I can't remember. I'll look it up. Anyways.
Deanne Warwick?
I forgot. No, it's not Deanne. Did you guys watch that Whitney doc, by the way?
No.
Oh, you should go watch it.
On Whitney
Whitney Houston. Yeah, because it's her cousin.
What?
Yeah. They're cousins?
Yes. Dee Dee and Deanne. Oh, you guys should go watch it.
Okay. I remember Deanne Warwick. I remember that it was infomercials all the time as a kid.
Yeah.
She was like, call this number and I'll read your fortune. And I was like,
you guys
Mom.
Go, not to spoil. I don't want to take the.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Wait, just don't tell me Whitney dies in the end because I wouldn't be able to take
Brad.
That.
Oh, my God.
Too soon.
Is it too soon? How
no,
long is
no,
it
it's a joke. It's not.
So this store, but they're known for like these magic candles where this psychic and healer puts these energy into these candles and magic, and then you light them and you let them burn all the way down. You set an intention in them and then you let them burn all the way down and then things happen.
Brad,
and
I got
you
these.
Shift energy. So we went in there and I was like, we have to go in.
Yeah.
So we went in and
what did you ask me? You go, what are you?
What do you? I said, what do you want? Like, what is it? Is there something you want in your life right now? And your answer was.
And, they were sold out of the big penis candle.
Yeah, they were. They were.
They actually weren't.
That thing flies off the shelves every time. Yeah. Every time it's gone. It's there. They can't keep them in stock.
Well, in fairness, I have too many of them.
Yeah.
But so I was like, well, there's a couple shows I'm going to start pitching. And she goes, all right, success, entertainment. So she goes to this gal and goes, hey, how can we help him get these shows?
Yeah.
And her reply was, she immediately was just like, you need this candle, this candle, and this candle.
Yeah.
And I'm going to light them all at the same time, write my intention underneath the candles.
Yeah.
And then let them burn, and then...
And then you bring it back to the store, and you have them read it.
Oh, she's going
to
read the imagery
so
that
she'll
comes
go,
from
so
the candles.
So she'll go, she'll be like, you have one block, this one person. Sometimes they'll tell you to get another candle. Sometimes they'll be like, don't do anything. Like, they'll give you specific things to do.
If she says it didn't work and you need three more candles, I'm going to know it's a scam.
Yeah. But I told you a cool story about what happened.
You did? Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm into it. And I'm into opening my mind to stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Because I used to be so... There was a $10 psychic that lived across the street from me, my old apartment. And I remember went in there once and she's like, I can tell you're really hungry. I was like, I came in here with a sandwich. This is bullshit, you know?
Right.
But I think there's stuff like that that does... That can line up. And the psychic that...
Well, and at the end of the day, if you're just setting your intention, even if it's not actually the candle that's doing anything, just by you taking the time to go... Okay, what is it that I want? I really want the show. Why do I want the show? What is my intention for this? Just by setting that, you're getting clearer within yourself.
Yeah, we all rarely do that. Like, Brad, how often do you wake up and go, this is what I want, this is what I'm doing?
Let's Never, because normally my dog's just licking my face because yeah. he wants to be fed and he wants to be let out, right. and those needs come way before mine.
But
I'm not a big guy into the psychics or crystals or anything like that, but at the same time, I'm a full believer in the placebo effect, and like you say, if it gets your mind going and thinking in the right direction, and if lighting a candle or holding a crystal or shoving a chakra in your ass makes
totally.
It get
by
going.
The way, they have, you know, they have crystal eggs now that you put in your vagina.
Why are we still here? Why did we not lead
and
with
why
that?
Why was that not my housewarming gift?
Yeah.
No, so it's heal. You put it's
vagina eggs.
Yeah, the vagina eggs.
I've heard.
You can go into like Goop has them where they sell them. Oh, there's another crystal store in Santa Monica.
Gwyneth Paltrow says it's true. It must be.
Yeah, you put, and it's supposed
wait,
to heal.
Wait, did you call her Goop? Or is that her website?
That's her website. That's the website. Do you not know what Goop is?
No.
Goop.
Oh my God. Where
Goop is where you go.
I don't Google Goop.
Goop is where you go to like
Goop was a Nickelodeon gag spinoff.
No.
That's where Gwyneth Paltrow says, ladies, go steam your vagina.
Yeah. They have penis crystals too.
Steam your vagina?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Steam your, yeah.
Yeah. You don't know about this? Hillel. Like, wait a second.
That's when we cue the Hillel character.
Steam your vagina. Why?
Because
Paltrow says so?
No,
please
no,
tell
no,
me
no.
that's a response.
I mean,
no, this is an old Ayurvedic tradition of you use certain herbs that are in the steam, and it helps to release trauma and help. It's just like we're taking
vagina trauma.
And then, I'm having the conversation trauma. With the wrong people right now.
And then,
oh.
And then,
oh my God.
And then your vagina tastes like cinnamon. Okay, we all know that.
I just said vagina trauma.
That's really fucked
that
up.
That comes on after bananas and pajamas. But at 9 p.m. So put the kids to bed.
Bananas
and
pajamas for an all new hour of vagina trauma.
Oh, wait, my God.
So do people buy these products from her?
Yeah, but they're not from her. She sells them from other places. But yes.
So what's up with
actually,
these penis crystals?
The penis crystals are actually for fertility usually. They tell the guys to get them. But yeah, they have different sizes. They have little ones and big ones. But literally, they just are... crystals in the shape of penises.
So what, you just like
everything.
So just like you put
it next
to it? The crystal on the dick, and you're like, all right, now my
no,
baby.
No, you just put it next to your
now
bed,
my,
I guess.
Now
I
my guys can
I
swim.
I do have a friend who was trying to get pregnant,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
and she bought a penis crystal for her as her husband, and that month they got pregnant.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Maybe they just got lucky. Maybe it was the magic of the crystal.
Hey, man.
I don't know. I love crystals.
Whatever works for you. If you find your serenity in a religion, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, great. If putting a crystal next to your penis makes you have a kid, okay, cool.
Hey, it might not be the first thing we talk about at dinner.
Yeah.
Or Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But, I totally believe that. If it doesn't hurt you or other people, man, like,
it's
who
okay.
gives a shit?
It's okay.
Right? I feel like this could be your next venture, Kale. Like,
oh, God. What?
I mean, opening either that store, something similar to it. I walk in, you're behind the desk being like, you need the penis crystals.
The penis
I'm like,
crystals.
This is not the ketchup I was hoping for.
I'm sure there's some people in Hollywood where if we dress me up in like an all latex outfit, you're like, oh no, this is the special dwarf vagina where you insert the dwarf into the vagina and then magical things happen to you. Magical things. You get pregnant. All your successes come true.
He
like,
comes with
all
two
your
vagina eggs if you buy him now.
Yes. And then he goes up in them. And because he has his hands, he can throw them deeper into your vagina. So
that's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so glad we did this.
I know. Thank you.
So
this
glad
is
you came
so
over.
Fun. I know.
And,
have you done a podcast before?
Yeah.
No. Oh my gosh. This is my first time doing
it.
Have I ever? No, I did some
interviews
and stuff. I did a radio interview for People You May Know, and it went so bad. I don't think they ever sent me the link for it. I don't know if they put it out. I never heard it, but it
well,
honestly
this one didn't
was
go
so
bad.
But this was good, but I feel you guys made it comfortable. And
well,
it was nice.
You should all, your first time should always be with people you trust.
Yeah.
And we're glad we could pop your cherry. Well,
your podcast,
you.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is a cool, though. But
now
like,
we're going to go find crystals to shove in our orifices.
Yes, you should.
I'm not against the crystals.
They have anus ones. They,
you said that so sweet and sincere. Like
no,
that should,
I'm sure they do. Yeah. I'm sure I could find them for you. I could
there's something
for
everybody.
I saw anus crystals 2 years ago at Coachella. Shitty band.
SiriusFest.com for passes, tickets,
yes,
everything.
Come, it's going to be
go
so
to it.
Fun.
People You May Know, Netflix, go watch it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll, you know,
MarryMe.com, it's still up there.
It is.
Maybe it shouldn't be. Oh, yeah, he did an episode.
I did an episode. Avery Tom Arnold's episode. In it. Isn't Ryan Eggold in it?
Ryan Eggold's in it.
Boy. So you can go watch that, and then stay tuned for your crystal shop that's going to be opening.
Also, you're getting real fun on social media, and people you may know
I have a thing about social media.
What is that?
It makes me really anxious every time I post something.
Well, that sounds right.
I think I'm too judgy of myself.
Yeah,
of course. Or of other people. So therefore, like,
you mean
I
you're
post
a person
something.
On the internet.
Yeah. So I'm like, why did I just post that? I made a post the other night and I woke up and I was like having anxiety. I was like, why did I post that? That's so weird. Why did I post it? And then people were like, what a lovely post. That was so nice. And I was like, okay, so maybe I should post more. But then
you can't look
I
at the comments.
It.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if you do the dwarf vagina crystal, you will have nothing but positive reactions.
Do you think I'll get like a million followers? Because right now I only have 5,000.
At least.
And that's I kind of feel shitty about myself. I'm kind of like, I have 5,000 followers. That's really stupid and lame. Will you guys follow me?
Yeah, I will.
Will you follow me?
And it doesn't define you. Your followers don't define
you. Look at what you're doing in your life.
I have this dream that we all wake up one day and there was like an accidental like switch in Instagram where everyone goes back to zero.
Good.
That's a great movie premise or something.
What happens if everyone, if you have like 80 million followers and all of a sudden you go back to zero, like, and then how many people like actually re-sign up? It's just, I don't know. I fantasize about it sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Write that movie. Cause then a lot of people that lived in my old apartment building will be out of work.
YouTubers.
I could have been a YouTuber.
I like your emphasis on tuber.
Could have been a YouTuber. What?
I didn't know I could do a brand.
Well, you are at Kaylee Smith, right?
Kaylee Smith Westbrook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kaylee Smith Westbrook.
Great.
Follow and then
Kaylee without an E.
And then you
and then you could be an influencer.
Exactly. That's my next. That's
you
my
are
next
an influencer.
With my influence of 5,000 people.
But I mean, like, look at everything you've done. You. You're influencing on a daily basis.
I'm shoving a crystal in my urethra tomorrow.
Okay, well, that sounds like something you should consult a doctor.
Don't, but you told me it would work.
No,
so
I'm no, next definitely to do not show
crystal in the urethra.
No,
it's happening. You cannot convince me otherwise.
All right. Well, I don't say I didn't warn you, but that's not how kids happen.
I don't know. I think it is.
It's going to be the opposite.
Who needs science?
Yeah.
Oh God, that hurts.
Love you, Kayla. Thank you.
Love you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?